Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Here we go, Cofield and Company, 3 o'clock hour. This on the 4 o'clock hour, presented by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Earlier show today, we already have put in an hour. It's arduous work. Good first hour with John Von Tobel. He'll be back in just a second. Justin Watkins in studio on New Year's. Look at you. Meadows has gear.
Oh, Meadows has got great gear. Yeah. Got to support the team. You know, girls volleyball team, state champs, so wear the gear. And, coming in, get to do a little victory lap today.
Take it. I don't have to set you up. We are in a fantasy league together. You've generally not been very good at fantasy football.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? I was just thinking about that on the way in. I think this was my 6th year in the league, if that sounds right. I think I've won it twice and been in the finals 3 times. So not bad. Not a bad run. This year was interesting, though, because I basically didn't have a quarterback the whole year. And then Brock Purdy came back, and he was available, and I took him. So that's how I won the championship. Brock Purdy. Who knew? I mean, he ran through the playoffs.
He's the hottest quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah.
So who else killed it?
Oh, I mean, I had what turned out to be a stacked roster. CMC, Achan, Amon-Ra, Drake London. For a while there, those 4 players were top 5 in their position until Drake London got hurt. I just didn't have a quarterback and didn't have a tight end, really, until Purdy. Otherwise, I was running out there, switching quarterbacks every week. Jackson Dart was my starter for a while. He did all right. But fun league. I love that league. I love the rules of that league. I love the auction draft. It's the only one I really pay attention to. Just because the rules are so good. And locked up roster once the playoffs start, which is interesting. You got to make some tough choices going in.
Are you comfortable with this victory lap?
I mean, I think mostly people just don't care about fantasy. So
they definitely do.
Yeah,
not.
Like, I think I'm comfortable in the sense of, yeah, like if he achieved it, he gets a gloat in your face, then absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's not really about talking about strategic decisions. It's just about being in front of Cofield, and thanks for bringing me in the league.
I don't think anybody's turning up the radio right now, but
that's right.
Well, the betting front certainly hasn't gone as well.
No.
Not to rain on your parade, but you need to celebrate the victories.
Came out scorching start on the betting, and then just, you kept putting me on before JVT, and all JVT had to do was say the opposite of what I said for the last 6 weeks, and he would have been at
really?
800 clip or 900 clip. Bad. And you pretty much did. And you pretty much did get it right on and say the opposite of what I said. It was a nightmare. The first 6 weeks of college football was great, and then the last 6 weeks was really bad. So overall, I think I fell below 500 by the end.
Well, this show loves to bet during the season, but especially in the preseason. And we had some bets going back to the preseason for the NFL. My struggle on this show is I don't remember John, whether he's really part of the show or not, because he's kind of in and out depending on his schedule at VSiN. He keeps track of this stuff.
Doc.
He has the spreadsheet. And I guess we made multiple bets. I don't remember the second one.
No, you did not. So Justin's down 0-2 to me.
Okay, what was the second bet?
I know. Let's set up the first.
Yep.
Well, the first,
people don't know about the first. This was, he did a hell of a job here. We got to give him credit.
This is technically the second, okay. Because this was made second on the actual timeline of life. But Patriots, I don't know if we went now over 9.5, 10 plus, whatever it was, they've blown through it. But Patriots over their win total was the one, obviously, that I think both of you remember.
Yeah.
And you were both on the same side of
correct.
This one. You both agreed with each other that they would not get there. And
Justin tried to get me on your side, which I was like, yeah, it's great, man. I get a dinner. And now I'm like, crap, I got to pay for part of the dinner.
But now I think, what are they going for? Their 13th win or whatever it is this weekend. I think they're sitting on 12. The other that I don't think you remember is the NBA Finals ratings.
Oh, no, I remember
this. That's the other one. Maybe it's you don't remember. I had the average vote of viewers. Mine was, I set the number at 9.5 million. And the last game. They had
you went under on this?
Yes.
I went under. Oh, I was looking great. I was looking
under
great.
Pacers.
Yeah.
Because it was going into game seven.
Average per game.
Yes. And going into game seven,
which is a low number.
Right. And it was like right there on like 9.2. Yeah. It was going to go under. And then game seven, they had like 18 million viewers. And of course, I got to win because that carried me over.
Part of the handicap was that it might be a crappy series, and then you were golden.
Right. Well, I predicted like a sweep of the series, and like 8 million viewers. And after game one, I looked really good, and then they just kept going back and forth. And I knew in game six that if it went seven, that I was going to lose because we were right on the cusp, and you knew game seven was going to get the viewers. And so obviously, it went seven, and then the number got blown off. It was like 9.5. I mean, you picked an incredible over-under number.
It was
because
right there.
It was right there. Pretty much every game was just over, just around 9, but just short of 9.5. And I think going into game 7, it was like a 9.3 or 9.4 average. It was right there. And then game 7 just put it well over the top. So, yeah, you're right. I do remember that one, too. Yeah, a bunch of bad luck on that one for me.
Yeah, so the final number, just to see how tight this was. So game seven got averaged 16.4, or that was the number that they had. For the series, it averaged 10.27 million. So right near the number, but just over what I had set it for.
Yeah, incredible number setting by you on that one. Yeah, so
0-2.
Yeah. So we just got to get that figured out.
Yeah, I want to build on that, on the incredible prediction, because it really was. I wish there was a way to call out TV and especially national and local radio hosts who insist on when there's a surprise towards the end of the season and someone has exceeded expectations. Like, the NFL's been crazy this year. Please stop saying no one saw this coming, because I've heard it many times on the Patriots. That's bullcrap. And I'm sure there are people who bet the Jags over. I'm sure there are people who were – I know there are people who were very bullish on the Seahawks. To go 5 games over the win total, I don't know. But just say, I was wrong. I didn't expect this. Not like I'm with everyone else. No one saw this coming. Cut it out. Take your lumps. You and I blew it.
Yeah.
We thought the Patriots were going to be average. If I could have made a Drake May, like if you had some crazy Drake May bet, if you had said top five in the MVP, I would have bet against you.
Yep, me too.
I would have laughed at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what was particularly enticing about that is, as I recall, the number was 8.5 at the time.
Correct.
And you took 9.5 and was taking the over 9.5. And I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not even sure they're getting 8.5.
You said freaking 11, a couple of days, a show before that, like a week before, I put that out on social media. I'm like, this is nuts. You look like a jackass.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We can both be right in the sense of they blew through their win total. They could be an average team. Their schedule stinks. And
that's part of the handicap.
Their last competent opponent, the Bills blitzed them in the second quarter and on and ended up beating them 35-31 and coming back in that game. They actually could still be a very average team. It's just that they did what they do, which well-coached teams do this, and Vrabel's the perfect coach for it. They had a lot of soft opponents on their schedule. Their schedule actually got worse as the season went along, which helped them out as well. They're a competent team that can take advantage of bad teams. But now, all of a sudden, if you have any of these teams coming to you this postseason, like if Buffalo has to go back to New England, you feeling that confident that the Patriots can actually get this done, even with Josh Allen on one foot? I'm not.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I mean, I think like you said, good coaching. You beat the teams you're supposed to beat. But they did have, at the end of the season, now we look at it, the softest schedule in the entire league. So, they went over their win total as you should with a good, well-coached team against a soft schedule. But that was baked into the number.
Yeah.
That's how they got to 8.5 in the first place. But I don't feel confident about them in the playoffs.
No, you can't. And two, I mean, you talk about some of the most quizzical results of the season. The Raiders went out there week one and beat them. Yeah. And now we're talking about a team that could be the one seed and the team that could be the first overall pick.
Two wins.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's funny. I was listening on the way in. You guys talk about coaching, and I was like, well, if Harbaugh or Tomlin are available, the Raiders better be on the phone right away. With basically any of the other coaches you said on the hot seat, if they happen to become available, the Raiders got to take them.
Which is also why Max Crosby doesn't get it. When he got all emotional, and he's like, I don't care about the number one pick. You know who does? Coaches. They don't want to come and just coach you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? There's got to be hope. They've got to have a quarterback. Mike Tomlin would be in play because he would finally have a quarterback to build around, because he can't nail one. If he's the one drafting these guys, he can't nail it.
I don't think this is a draft for it, though.
It's like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's not, is it Mendoza? It can't be Mendoza. It can't be the number one overall pick.
Why?
I just don't think he's going to be very good. I mean, he hasn't put up stellar numbers in college.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
He was good before he got to Indiana. He's put up good numbers this year. I think the bigger question is,
he's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a professional.
Is his
a number one?
You don't even know. Number one quarterback?
I shouldn't say professional. Number one, a quarterback worthy of being the number one overall pick.
Right.
He's probably good enough to be a first-round quarterback. This quarterback class seems relatively weak when you talk about like evaluating them from that standpoint. Garrett Nussmeier was supposed to be a first-round pick this year. That completely fell apart.
Dude, he basically threw for 60% of any other Heisman winner for the last 20 years. Mm. I mean, he didn't throw the ball very much, and he didn't get a lot of yards doing it. So, I mean, I think he was a pretty good game manager. He makes great decisions on his feet. He knows when to run. He does a good job there. He did that well at Cal too. But number one overall pick to change the trajectory of a franchise? I don't think so.
There's something to be said too of quarterbacks who are in an offense in college and heavily rely on those RPOs.
Yep.
Then transitioning to being a professional quarterback where you're in charge of a lot of different things, and we still see that growth issue a lot. I mean, look at J.J. McCarthy and his comments earlier this year, where he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I had to rewire almost everything. Footwork, everything he wanted to do. Trevor Lawrence this year allegedly had to change the way he steps in shotgun. Little things like that helped him get a lot better. Those are the things that change for you. And I don't know if playing the way you are in college translates to being the first overall pick. And like you said, changing the future of a franchise as you move forward.
I'll offer a bet.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be like a two-year bet.
No, it's not. And it'll be layered because a lot of things could happen. I'll set the number at 6.5 wins. Wherever Fernando Mendoza lands, that team will win 6.5. Oh, we'll go over 6.5 next year.
Pause. No lawyer technicalities. He has to start those games.
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty bad number if I freaking anticipate he's going to go somewhere. He's going to go to the Rams and be the backup.
I mean, well,
which, by the way, you're also betting on that.
Yeah. They're
sitting at the 12th pick if they wanted to, and they've got extra picks.
He gets
so Mendoza wins at least.
I was just doing team wins.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, he has to start those games.
I'm in. He could slip. The Rams have a top pick. Yeah. He could get drafted by the Rams and sit behind Stafford, and they could win 10 games next year, and you win your bet. No way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm worried about him getting hurt too, but I set the number.
Yeah, you said.
Yeah, but he's got to win those games. He's got to play in those games.
We haven't agreed. You can set the technicality of he has to start X amount of games for this to be action. That's how bets work.
I don't like doing that.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be the number one overall pick.
Or set a win percentage of his starts.
Nah, it's too complicated.
See, I like Steve says we like to make bets. He gets talked down pretty easily.
No, I didn't say I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll just revisit. After the draft.
No, you've got this out. We're doing it now.
Sounds like you're balking to me.
No.
Okay. Well, 6.5.
Well, you have until the next block here. We will take a break relatively soon and middle of the hour by 3:30. Make a decision.
On what?
Well, you gotta give me the terms.
6.5 wins.
That he starts.
Sure.
Okay, under. Got it. I bet it.
Yeah.
Yes, done. I set that too high. But
right. Yes, you did. I think I've done under a 1.5.
and by the way, he could go to the Raiders. And it doesn't mean they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team immediately.
No.
Trying to think off the top
of my head. From what I hear, I trust Jim Gray.
Okay, that's what we're relying on here. All right, I feel better about this bet.
I trust his knowledge of running the program.
JVT, can you put it in your spreadsheet?
Yeah, I will.
There we go.
6.5 wins, Fernando Mendoza, wherever he lands.
To be fair, Jim Gray did a great job of analyzing how good Geno Smith would be this year, getting him into the building.
I mean, do we really think that was his decision? Take it easy on Jim.
I mean, the fact that we're even
discussing that was very much a Pete decision. Very much a Pete decision.
All right, I'm going in the spreadsheet.
Okay. 38-14 right now. Utah's on top of Nebraska.
Some of these bets.
Beginning of the fourth quarter.
Will DeMond have his car on Monday?
We won that one. He didn't. Or did he?
No, he did. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
We paid it off. Yeah. That was when I I brought in frozen pizzas, and then I got snitched on.
Correct. Me too. Yes.
We both got snitched on because we're not supposed to have food in the studio. I brought in frozen pizzas in
a
pizza box.
We both brought in so four frozen 7-Eleven pizzas.
And they were like, they've got food in the studio. I'm like, they're frozen pizzas.
Yeah.
So my reputation got sullied on that one. We should spend a show going back, and we have a lot of company members who are with us and not with us. They're not dead.
Specifically, 6.5, correct, was the number?
6.5 wins.
Okay. Games that Mendoza starts.
I put it in there. Yeah.
All right.
That's a wow. That's man. That's a lot.
Wouldn't that be a killer if he goes like 5-2?
Like, no, but
he really does
this.
Look great.
Yeah. So the case for you, I made it earlier, the case against you is if you play your cards right, you can turn things around quickly. Huh. We saw Jaden Daniels win a ton of games and go to an NFC Championship game his rookie year. We saw C.J. Stroud go to the playoffs in the division round in his rookie year. It can happen. So,
happening with, though?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You have to trust that the organization he's going to go to is also going to take the proper steps to turn this thing around that quickly. Those other things, too, I mean, there's so many things that had to happen correctly. The Commanders, for example, hit it out of the park with Cliff Kingsbury as their offensive coordinator. Right. Dan Quinn got the most out of their defense in that year. There's so many different things that happened for him that, yes, really good things have to happen, but at least the point to Steve would be it can happen, and we've seen it happen relatively recently.
This isn't a terrible bet because of this. You start looking in the top 10, and there are some teams that are set at quarterback. You better root that Mendoza is super hyped and goes right at the top.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hope he goes to the Raiders.
You better hope that there's some teams that are like, well, you know,
well
Justin Watkins
is wrong. You know what?
I don't want him on the Jets.
If he goes to the Raiders, then I think that, you know, and they have wholesale changes. There's just so many variables in that situation, and he probably starts every game.
Who in the world are you talking about?
I wouldn't be completely depressed if he went to the Cardinals.
Agreed.
Okay. But you start looking through it, like, think about who's going to take a quarterback. Giants will not. Tennessee will not. They're fourth. Commies will not. They're sixth. The Browns probably will not. I'm going to say I wouldn't hate that,
Who knows?
They're seventh. Saints probably not. They're eighth. Bengals are ninth.
Yep.
They're not.
What?
Is Burrow going to be there?
I don't know.
He'll be there.
But here's the thing. What would they have to trade?
Right.
Well, they would probably get a whole bunch.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Right.
Kansas City 10. They're not going to do it. Dolphins 11. I don't want him to go to the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. He might go to the Dolphins.
This is a great trade.
Yeah, this is a great bet.
This is a great bet because the head coaches can make a freaking gigantic difference.
Yep.
Vikings?
I like this. But I probably should have done 5.5. You would have done that. Damn it.
I would have done 2.5. I don't think he's going to go in the top 15, and I don't think.
I'm not betting. That's a different statement. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Top 15.
You really don't like him. This is a great bet for you.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you like anyone?
I don't know. You know, I haven't been paying enough attention but I follow Mendoza quite a bit because of his year at Cal last year, and then being Indiana. I was watching a lot of Indiana games because I wanted them to do well in the Big Ten. I like the shakeup that Indiana being good at football does to the Big Ten Conference and the powers that be. So I watched a lot of his games, but I'm with JVT, the RPO quarterbacks, and he does not have any of the throwing numbers. I mean, he has no throwing numbers to account for. So I wonder when he's in the combine, and when he's going through the interviews and they start quizzing him on pro-style offense, he's never played in a pro-style offense. So, I don't know. Seems like a smart kid. Seems like a good kid. But, I mean, it's not like he has carried a team with his arm ever in college. He just hasn't. He's carried him with his legs.
Well, you love the arm. I mean, you guys are out of control with Sangapolitelli. He's all arm.
Jaron Kiave-Sangapolitelli.
He's not going to be anything in the pros either.
Get out of here.
He's like 5'11".
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Nah, he's like 6'4", dude. Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah. What?
He's a great quarterback.
Jaron Kiave-Sangapolitelli, the Cal kid?
I love him. Dude, really? 6'4"?
Yeah, dude, he's a big dude.
We'll look it up during the break.
Yeah.
All right, so first bet is in for next year.
He's 6'3".
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So really, I think he's awesome. Maybe 6'1.5" without the shoes. It might be 5'11".
I thought Justin would be a big Aiden Childs guy.
No, he's not. Yeah. He's looking for a new home.
That's a good question for you.
Yeah.
Adam Hill, you know what? We got to save it. I want to mention Calandria and what's going to happen with him. We got to get to all this college stuff. We got more lawsuits. Diego Pavia, I'm willing to bet that one. Let's do this. The court prediction. Is he going to get a seventh year?
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling out here on this New Year's Eve. JVT is here. Justin Watkins as well. We've got to shout out James. He's here on New Year's Eve. So we're just kind of tracking what's going on with the bowl games today. We got CFP action, the quarterfinals at 5 o'clock. We'll hand it off. Going out early today. Well, we started early, 2 to 5. Ohio State and Miami. We'll get some picks in a little bit towards the end of the hour. I don't even know where to start. We have a lot of legal stuff. But I was mentioning, I wanted to mention one more thing about, because John, I can tell John loves the portal. He was already going crazy on who's going to land where and who's Indiana going to get, which I think, again, is one of those great stories in college football, that Indiana is a top five favorite to get one of the top five quarterbacks in the transfer portal. That's like mind-blowing, you know, as compared to where they were 5 years ago. Calandry is in. Adam Hill over the weekend said that he thought Calandry was the number two quarterback in the transfer portal. I think he's really good. Number two? And if he's number two,
I don't think
then
so.
then he absolutely, I mean, he should have left, but he absolutely should leave, because then we're talking about, apparently Drew Mestemaker is, I mean, you never get real verified reports on this, but Oklahoma State, he's going to follow his coach to Oklahoma State, North Texas kid, freshman, that he's going to get like $3.5 million.
Yeah, that kid's good, dude. Like, yeah, I mean, if Calandry is number two, he had to leave. I don't think he's number two.
It's not the craziest statement in the world. I had to look at the list of transfer. It's, I don't think he's two, but I don't think Adam's out of the line. So let me.
I think he's probably top 12.
Ooh, I think that. So let me. Can I list some guys for you?
Seven, yeah.
Okay. Brendan Sorsby, Cincinnati. Would you take him or Calandria? Sam Levitt, I think we'd all agree, is probably.
You know, my answer to a lot of this is, what's the price?
Yeah.
So, of course. We're just saying.
That is part of it now. Like, I don't think people realize, and I keep saying that about Calandria. Like, could UNLV break its freaking bankroll and keep Anthony Calandria? Yeah, they can. They can afford him, but do you take up 70% of your NIL, or do you want to spend, you know, 15% on a quarterback?
But I think if you're evaluating by pure skill, it's not the great. Drew Mestemaker, the kid from North Texas.
Yeah, he's great. I think he's great.
Trinidad Chambliss from Ole Miss. Byron Brown from South Florida.
I like Byron Brown a lot. I'm not sure that he's an unbelievable thrower, but my God, he's a physical guy. And it depends on your offense, too. Like you were mentioning, like, that would be a great spot if Michigan can't hold on to
Underwood.
Then if you get a dual threat dude who's, you know, big like that.
Josh Hoover out of TCU.
I think he's okay.
Rocco Becht. Again, Dylan Raiola.
I mean, Raiola's the one who has tons of upside. He did get better this year until he got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, when you go down the list, it just makes sense that
Calandria
had to go. I mean, if you're talking about he could get $2 million,
like CJ Bailey. I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world. It changes if a guy like Underwood decides to enter the portal, obviously, and he gets pushed down. But I don't think the statement of, hey, he's at least the top three guy in the transfer portal and just pure skill and standpoint, Aiden Chiles?
I mean, no.
Oh, Aiden, that's what I wanted to build on.
No.
Yeah. Aiden, I saw a top 10 where Calandria was not top 10 and Aiden Chiles was.
Yeah.
Right. No. I'd take Calandria over Chiles.
That's somebody who doesn't watch UNLV football and who has no idea and just thought Aiden Chiles was supposed to be very good at Michigan State, and obviously he's transferring from a power school, so he must be very good.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, he was a 4-star going into college.
Don't be all bitter about it.
I am bitter.
See, I was a
part of the fall of Oregon State.
I have a little connection to Aiden Chiles because...
Is he your cousin?
No. One of the schools he was looking at was Rutgers.
Yeah.
And I acted like a fan. I shouldn't have. But when he committed to Oregon State, I was like, congrats on committing to the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
So I had called that whole Oregon State being left behind thing well before. Right. And his family was like, oh, like, yeah, I was right. And then, obviously the coach moved on. And now there's another coach at Michigan State. So Johnny Smith's out and Pat Fitzgerald is in.
Yeah.
I saw Pat Fitzgerald ranked one of the worst hires of this college football offseason. Do you think it's a terrible hire?
Yes.
Really?
I don't think it gets them anywhere. It doesn't move them up the chain of the Big Ten.
I don't know. I think that's actually pretty solid.
I mean, it's safe, but you're safely going to be what Michigan State has always been, a mid Big Ten team. That's not going to put you in the top five of the Big Ten.
I will take the same tack that Steve just did when you talk about evaluating these quarterbacks. I think you also have to evaluate head coaches by the resources they will now get in this new era. And I think Fitzgerald, with a program that's going to invest a lot more money
compared to what he had
in Northwestern, is probably going to be a lot better than what you were getting back at that program.
Agreed. Yes, they're going to get more. Yes, they're going to have more resources than Northwestern. But
I mean, you weren't getting.
Is that what you want? Is that what you, if you're Michigan State, is really what you want? Is Northwestern level success?
No, but you're not going to get. That's my whole point. Is you're not going to get Northwestern level success. He's going to get tier one Big Ten athletes now.
You think they're going to be the top five of the Big Ten with Pat Fitzgerald as a coach?
Like at some point?
Yeah, shot.
Sure.
No way. No way.
Consistently?
They can't.
Maybe
no,
not.
No
every
way.
Every once in a while, every fourth year, yeah, they can.
Dude, with the,
he had Northwestern
with the,
there.
With the amount of.
Every fourth year.
With the amount of spending that they're going to do on their revenue share for their basketball program, right? They got to feed Izzo. They can't.
How long is Izzo going to be around?
Dude, I don't think there's any chance.
His head's going to explode over college basketball the way it's going right now.
I don't think there's any chance Michigan State is in the top 10 of the Big Ten before the Super League ever happens by 2030. No way. No way. Like, you're talking about tier one resources. There are five teams that will outspend Michigan State year in and year out. And its great example is like Indiana. Indiana has always been a rich school. They've had more money than almost anybody in the Big Ten outside of Michigan as an institution. Their endowment fund is enormous. They just got stuck behind tradition and geography. And now that stuff doesn't matter anymore.
Right. They only wanted to cheat in basketball, not in football.
Exactly. And now you got Michigan State that's got none of that. They got none of that. They don't have the tradition. They don't have the money.
Tradition.
Their endowment, I bet you, I'm just guessing, their endowment is in the bottom half of the Big Ten. I'm willing to guess that's the case. They don't have the money or the resources to be in the top five. Now, when you look at Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, Washington, those schools are all going to Indiana are all going to outspend them right off the top.
On the way back, I want this question answered. What's more likely? Diego Pavia comes back for a seventh year because he wins in the courts, or the NCAA is helpless against this rush of pro players coming back from the G League in Europe, and we have like 10 pro players on rosters next year around college basketball?
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
That felt good. That felt real good. I don't know if that was on camera. We're rolling live right now on Facebook, ESPN, and on Twitter. We had discussed earlier turning over a new leaf and being more personable with all of our regulars, and especially a guy like Justin, and we're either going to close out spots by saying I love you, because we do that with Xavier Pope, or we're going to hug.
Great. I love it.
We can hug every time if you want. And I don't want it to be a bro hug.
I got it.
Like a good hug. I went over and hugged you, and you were like, what's going on right now? But you hugged me. That was good.
Yeah.
It was a good hug. He was in and out quick.
Yeah, but you did it weird.
I did do it weird.
We were talking about something, and
you
just like
interrupted
cut us off.
Well, that's how I had to do it.
Yeah. Come here. I have to say something.
That's what made me feel like something was up. It's not because you're giving me a hug.
No, naturally. But I really meant it. No, I really. You're supposed to do it naturally. Like, I said thanks for coming in.
You're like, hey.
Right, yeah.
In the middle of my sentence.
Well, it was one of those, like, I forgot to do it. I'm like, I better get to this now.
Oh, no. You know what's funny about that? I like where your head is on this. It was a couple years ago. I came into my staff and I'm like, you know what? I'm not a very good hugger. I'm not very natural at it. I'm like, I'm always the first one to pull away. I feel like it's, you never know what it's going to be like. And I said, I have several Native Hawaiians who work at my office, and they're great huggers. They hug all the time. They hug everybody for any reason or no reason at all. And I'm like, I'm dedicating myself to being a better hugger. I just told them all, so you know what's coming. I'm just going to be giving hugs now.
Those bosses get in trouble for that.
I know. I gave an announcement. I'm an equal opportunity hugger. Tell me if you don't want it.
Justin Watkins, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Your social media gets better and better. I told you, Matt Hoffman, his riffs on stuff are great. But I do see stuff in the office via social media where I'm like, that's not exactly Justin's style.
Okay.
They've kind of softened up the office. Not that you're like a hard ass.
Okay. What did I do?
It's not necessarily you. Just, okay. just celebrations, decorations, events. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool
place. We got a great crew over there. They like to have fun. We get some really, you know, like Christmas, people want to dress up like a Grinch came through. That's great. Halloween's a great time at our office. Everybody loves to dress up. You know, we have a real big Taylor Swift fan at our office. When the new album came out, she dressed up like a showgirl, came into the office, did a whole life of a case manager spot. Yeah, we got to lighten it up. We got people who don't take themselves too seriously, who can have fun, who can laugh at themselves. I don't put myself in that category, but it's something I'm working on.
You guys hiring? I'm good at arguing.
Yeah, we all are.
I was gonna say, they're filled.
Yeah, exactly.
Headline. Pavia lawyer cites NBA draft picks return to college in lawsuit. I love this so much. The NCAA just can't get out of his own way.
My conspiracy theory brain says that the NCAA is just inviting in the nonsense to purposely lose these cases so they can go to Congress and say, like, we have no other option. Like, I can't believe that they have, of all the rules that they made, one of the rules that I think the courts would have enforced is, once you go pro, you can't come back. I think they would have agreed with that because now those are competitors, right? And different leagues can have different. I actually think that that would have been pro-competitive behavior. And it would have been upheld by the courts. Instead, they come up with this rule that says, like, yeah, he got drafted. It's fine. G Leaguers come on back. Anybody else can come on back. But if you signed an NBA, I can't believe Charlie Baker came up with this statement yesterday. If you signed an NBA contract and played in the NBA, then no, you can't come back. Play in Europe? Fine. Play in the G League? Fine. Now, that rule makes no sense in the world, and challenged in court will lose. And Charlie Baker's statement was like, basically, these activist judges have gone and blown up our whole system, rather than take some ownership of, like, yeah, we created a system that was illegal, and no judge in any sort of ideology can support the system that we've created in which young men and women were exploited without any say or any guardrails. And they continue to not take responsibility for the situation they've created, and they will continue to lose in court. And Pavia, you asked for a prediction, will win another year of eligibility.
Wow.
And, you know.
He better move on, by the way. He better get a much bigger payday and go to a real blue blood. Let's go. It's enough for Vanderbilt. Let Clark Lee go and get someone else. You got the benefit from it.
I can't stand this dude.
He really was a jackass.
Yep.
Around the Heisman. That was really stupid.
He and his mom are kind of annoying, yes. They're the prime example of it's 15 minutes of fame for a reason.
Yeah.
Because once you get past that, it's then you realize.
You see the warts.
You start going down the Hawk to a Girl road where it's just like, dude, you're not as interesting as you think you are. You had a little bit of a moment. Now all of a sudden you're like, your mom's like shaking it on television cameras and doing all this stuff and looking super annoying, and your relationship with her looks kind of weird. Like, nah, dude, we're done here.
I agree wholeheartedly with JBT.
Legally, I understand what he deserves, but this guy sucks.
I mean, I like what he's doing from a legal standpoint, that he challenges stuff. Thankfully, you see enough of the coaches come around and say, we need collective bargaining. And now you're seeing the flip side of that. Some of the legal experts saying, okay, great. You guys all agree. Now, hold on. It's not as easy as you think to collectively bargain when you're talking about all these different member institutions, all the different state laws, and the lack of federal law. How do we create this system? I believe it can be done, but it takes everybody being on the same page. And if you're one of the ones who's benefiting from this, you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
We're not on the same page. We're killing it right now. And you know what? This whole gray area thing is really working for us. And we're just going to stay in there.
Is there a point, I don't know, maybe you can't do this, but is there a point where, as a parent of one of these younger athletes, can you not make the legal case that this starts to become a safety issue? Like, I have my 18-year-old who just signed up to play Division I, whatever it is, football. And now we have these 24-year-olds coming back in with their mature bodies playing, and now they have to match up with each other.
Well, you have a hard time making that argument, I think, if those same kind of 18-year-olds were trying to make the play to get in the pros, right?
Sure. Okay.
So, and 18-year-olds in specifically basketball have done quite well. So, like, I don't think that in and of itself is a great argument,
But I do think that if you were to put specifically an age cap on eligibility, not years of schooling, because clearly the courts have decoupled academics from athletics. They've just like, that's a farce. One has nothing to do with the other. You are basically now a university that sponsors a pro league. That's all it is. You've licensed out your facilities and your logo. That's what you've done. That's how the courts see this now. It's an industry. And so I saw an interesting argument, like they should just create majors for the sport. You got band majors. You got a saxophone major. I'm a quarterback major. And here you go. That's how I enroll. Great. Okay, fine. Whatever. If that's what these institutions want to do. But I do think that if you were to age cap it and say nothing towards working towards a degree or 4 years, you just say you got to be 25 and under to play this sport. I do think that you could make some safety arguments. I think you can make the competitiveness of our league is dependent upon age. We have several different sports leagues that have age caps. Specifically in hockey is a prime example that I think you can point to and say, this is what makes sense for us before going pro.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Dustin Watkins is here with us in studio. Each day our 4 o'clock hour is presented by Battleborn. You can call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400. On the way back, let's get some picks, some angles, some leans, some likes for the CFP, which starts up here. The CFP already started, but the Elite Eight starts in less than an hour and 20 minutes with Miami and Ohio State. You can hear it right here on ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Head towards the 4 o'clock hour. Only 30 seconds left in the Las Vegas Bowl. Man, I was wrong on this one. I thought Nebraska would compete. I thought Utah might lack a little bit of motivation. They have rallied big time around Morgan Scalley. It's 44-22. Could they get there? No, they can't get there.
I mean, you looked
two-point
good.
Conversion, they could.
I was going to say, you looked good initially. Nebraska had a 40-yard touchdown run, like their first drive. They scored first, thought they were going to get it, and then it was just all Utah.
Yeah, blowout. And Texas just got a 60-yard run in the Citrus Bowl, 41-27. Arch Manning had the 60-yard run. So Texas leads Michigan with 1.5 minutes left.
Arch Manning should come out for the NFL draft.
Boy, that'd be good for the NFL. That'd be a hell of a story.
Good for the Raiders.
Good for the Raiders, yes.
Well, that's just why he won't come out. It's like Raiders sitting at one, like, I'll go back to Texas for another year.
Tom Brady and Jim Gray better get on the phone with Archie Manning and see what it would take. Like, who's the coach you want for your grandson?
Right. Call Peyton. Let's go.
I don't think you're hiring Peyton Manning, are you?
No, I'm just saying, anybody, get in touch with anybody in the family.
Who do they want?
Start to get them down here, yeah.
Who do they want? Let's wrap on the story about Pavia getting a 7th year, potentially 25-year-olds coming from Europe who've played some pro basketball getting into college basketball. One is going to be playing here soon for Baylor. My question earlier was, are there going to be like 10 or more of these former pros next year in college basketball? Do they have a way to stop it, or are they just going to keep losing a court?
I mean, I think you're going to keep seeing players who flamed out in the pros. Try it. Why not? Right? It's not going to be hard to find an attorney who's going to be willing to take on that fight. And like I said, the line that they drew in the sand makes no sense, which is you could do all this pro basketball everywhere, but if you signed an NBA contract, then that's a contract too far. Doesn't matter if you flamed out, you didn't really make it and didn't really play. If you sign the contract, that's their line, and I just don't think that one is a sensible line in the sand.
How hard would the age limit be to institute and enforce?
Well, now,
how quickly you're just,
I don't know. I don't think you could do, like, now we're in such the wild, wild west. And they've lost so many battles that I think they only have two options, congressional intervention or collective bargaining. That's it. And, I just don't think you're going to get everybody in Congress to buy into what that fix is and whether or not we can go back to how it used to be with an antitrust exemption. Because with the number of House members you have, 435, there's going to be more people who are representing colleges that were negatively affected then were positively affected by all the changes that have happened, and they're not going to be on board with basically saying, all right, we're going to let these power teams run a pro league, and then the rest of us just get whatever happens. Like, they're not going to agree to that. And so unless it becomes some equal system in which the TV networks aren't running everything, then I just don't think Congress is going to get there. So I think they need to be working towards building a collectively bargained league. I like what Boise State has promoted. Boise State put together something for all the G6 leagues and said, we need to forget about the Power Four. We need to come together and we need to form a league that's got relegation and promotion. And we're going to do it this way. There'll be 12 in the Champions League. There'll be, you know, so-and-so, so-and-so. We'll have geography down below. The top 12 in the Champions League, we're going to be coast-to-coast. And when we do that, we can create rules and collectively bargain with our schools and our players, and we can sign multi-year contracts, and it will be enforced. And I think that's correct. And I think that's the only way the G6 remains relevant. Because you get relegation and promotion, people are going to watch.
And Boise State starts in the bottom league. I think we're all fine with that.
Yes, yeah. Sure, that's the agreement. Rapid fire on some of these games in the CFP tonight. Ohio State kicking off here in just a little bit. It's down to 8 against Miami.
Gosh, I have not been on Miami, and I wasn't last time, and they proved me wrong. But I feel like Ohio State is just, I think they're way better than Miami. I like the numbers come down. I like Ohio State side.
It's like 9.5, so I'll stay with this. As long as it's above like that touchdown area of like 8, I'll stick with Miami.
Dang. I lost
it. I think Ohio State wins by, say, 10 to 14, but wow. I think it may still go under the 40.5. I don't trust Miami offensively. I don't trust Crystal Ball.
Yeah.
You're thinking too much about the Texas A&M game. Thinking too much.
That's a lot of the season. Very conservative. Oregon and Texas Tech. Oregon's now 2.5. That's the first game tomorrow. That's a 9 a.m. start.
I mean, I think Oregon's going to beat them, and I think they'll beat them pretty handily. I want Texas Tech to win, obviously. It's interesting. A side note on this, I think it's interesting how the Oregon fans are couching this as like Oregon's the savior of the traditional, you know, college football powers, because Texas Tech shouldn't be able to buy their way into
Wait
the CFP.
Second.
When
Wait
Oregon, yeah, I know. When Oregon is the originator of this, I mean, yep. their budget is twice as much. Their yep. roster costs twice as much as Texas Tech's.
Come on now.
But it's funny.
Oregon was nothing 25 years ago, they bought their way to the table.
Yeah, exactly. And they're still buying their way to the table. Their roster still is more expensive than Texas Tech. So
that's outrageous.
I think Oregon wins this game.
Oregon.
Where's the number going to go? Is it going to stay on 7? There's just no way it's going to move down. There's not going to be enough Alabama money coming in to move it off of 7. Indiana 7.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, look at this game today. That was sitting at 9.5 since it opened.
Ooh.
And then right before, it gets down to 7.5. So I don't know what to do with this, man. I don't trust either of these teams.
Oh, I like Alabama here. Okay. I like it. So you should go with Indiana.
Yeah,
you'll be fine.
For the sake of competition, it's where I was leaning anyway. I'll go Indiana, but I don't like. I would love for it to get 6.5, so I can play that instead of 7, 7.5.
Justin Watkins with us, Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Last 20 seconds, real quick. George is now down to 6 against Ole Miss.
Give me Ole Miss.
You're Ole Miss on this one.
I think sometimes these lines will tell your story. You talk to everybody, Georgia's going to smoke them, and yet it won't get to 7, and in fact, it's going the other way.
Okay, I'll take Georgia for the sake of I don't love trying to pick this game, but for the sake of going Oppo, so that JVT can go 4-0 and I can go 0-4. Let's
are we gonna do this dinner in the next like 2 months?
Heck yeah,
I'm ready.
Pay off the bet downtown, yeah. I think, right? We'll have to come up with the terms. Justin, have fun tonight. We'll see you.
All right.